Hey everyone, Lisa Anderson here with you for this week's episode of The Boundless Show. Welcome. A little bit of what's coming up later. I get to answer the inbox question from a guy who's wondering if he should ask out his small group co-leader or if doing that is going to cause things to get super awkward if and when things go south. Who hasn't wondered that before? Then for our culture segment, Gina D'Alfonso is here. She's author of One by One, Welcoming the Singles in Your Church. She has lived the single life and is going to give us some insight on how to navigate relationships with our church body and what we can do as single adults to do those relationships well. Well, here we are for our roundtable, and I get to reintroduce you to Jake, Catherine, and Matt. Hey, guys.
Hey.
I just want to say that's what small groups are for.
if we're being honest here.
Small groups for singles, right?
We'll see what he chooses to do with that. That's good. So hopefully, I actually got to, I'm going to get to answer that one. So it'll be fun.
Perfect.
Coming up later.
I tell it like it is.
I don't get to answer it?
I tell it like it is.
So that's why I was here.
Is there going to be follow-up in two weeks?
I'm out.
How did it go?
Yeah, really.
How did it go?
Yeah, can we get that second date check out?
All right. Well, here is what you guys do get to weigh in on. We're going to have a conversation, and I actually Googled this and saw that there are a number of different sites and ministries that have kind of raised this question before. Things that Christians should not be saying or doing if we actually want to represent Christ, both to non-Christians and then also kind of what just irritates our brothers and sisters in Christ as well. So maybe some of those answers are the same. Maybe some of them are different, whatever. We're going to go ahead and break it down. And I know, Catherine, you actually asked some of our Boundless fans this question and got some good feedback too, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so this will be fun. So the first thing I want to ask, because there are some that are actually like serious things that are like egregious, you know, departures from stuff that is normal and or biblical. But I want to throw it out there. Just what's one nutty thing, can just be a fun kind of thing, that you do that is super Christian? Okay, either you do it now or you've done it that just, you know, it really is kind of, it's going to put the scarlet C on you for sure. Jake, well, why don't you start?
Oh, sure.
I mean, my whole life is a Christian. Well, I'm like a walking Christian cliche.
Okay.
I grew up and I went to church on Sunday mornings.
You do kind of have the worship leader hoodie on today, I would say.
I wish. I went to church Sunday morning. I went to Royal Rangers on Sunday nights. And then 2 days a week during the week, I was homeschooled and I had homeschool co-op classes at church.
Oh, wow.
2 days a week.
Okay.
And now that I'm a parent, I actually send my own kids. They do the same thing. We do church and then I send them to church for homeschool classes.
Okay.
So. Yeah.
Wow.
Churchified. All right. What about you, Catherine?
Mine is kind of embarrassing. So growing
more
up.
More embarrassing than mine?
I
doubt that.
I really, really loved Robin Joan Gunn's series about Christy Miller. If you don't know what that is, it's this book series that follows a girl through her whole life. Well, she starts when she's 15 until she gets married to like the guy of her dreams who's very godly, and now they're into the baby years and I'm still reading them and they're so cute.
What?
But recently
they're still going.
I have the ebook. I'm on chapter like 5 right now. But I recently learned that Robin Jones Gunn's son actually works at Focus with me, and I didn't even realize who he was, and he has like the eyes that she talks about in her book, which are like blue eyes.
I should
not be saying this much because he might ever hear this. Yeah.
It wasn't embarrassing until just now.
So he's actually been on the show. So he
on
actually
Boundless.
Had a really
he's
fun.
Been on Boundless. Yeah. So
he was on one of our very excited
people. Stop
and I texted one of my friends, and I texted my mom, show. And she was like, "Oh, is he single?" I was like, "No, mom, he's married with kids." So,
oh my goodness!
But that was my very Christian moment. Yeah.
And way to go, mom.
Okay, I didn't know yours, and mine's kind of similar, and it's that like when I tell my
size.
No, yeah. I actually don't even know who that is. I have no idea.
That's her son that I, yeah.
Oh, okay. But no, so I have like the Christian teen literature that was like played a role in kind of me realizing faith and what it is and what it means to love God. And it's like the Ted Decker books. You guys know what I'm talking about?
No,
well,
I've never
which,
heard of them.
Which Ted
well,
Decker
Well, there's the trilogy, right?
Sure.
Red, Black, and White.
Right.
And then he pumped out this green one that was supposed to like... bring it full circle.
All the way
literally,
around
it was all about circles.
Yeah. Okay.
I think they were really good. I'd say like it was formative for me. And
wow.
I remember all my friends kind of reading them around the same time, like early high school.
Okay.
But
so
I think
Christian
that,
horror fiction saved your walk with the Lord?
Horror's a little strong for those, but for the other books of his, yeah.
For the homeschooler, it was horror.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. It's way off the rails.
I wasn't homeschooled, so maybe that's part of it.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to throw out one that actually was just news to me when I found that this was super Christian. And that is just Christian-esque social activities. So like things that my non-Christian friends not only do not do, but have never heard of. Case in point, the game night. Okay, so I invited non-Christian friends
Wait,
to a game
that's a
night.
Christian thing?
They didn't even know what it was. In fact,
what?
One of the guys asked me basically what the is a game night. Okay, I'm just going to be honest.
That's blowing my mind. I thought this was a thing.
No, game nights are totally Christian. So is going bowling with a group of people. Like my non-Christian friends.
Just like college.
I've seen the bowling on King of Queens and the Big Lebowski.
My non-Christian friends go to bars. They go to like movies. You know, I mean, if I invited them to a movie, they'd know what that is and stuff. But they don't just like hang out and do these activities or like scavenger hunts and stuff.
Oh, man.
Is this a good activity?
Okay, so that actually is probably Christian. True. Because when I moved to this new city, I remember thinking, how does anyone make friends if they don't go to church? Like, I thought that was the only way to meet people.
When was the last time you asked non-Christian people to join you for a bonfire? If they don't go to Texas A&M. I mean, honestly, no one. No one even knows.
Come over to our house for a party tonight.
Okay.
That sounds
I know, but then
that's
you whip
loose.
Out your guitar and you're singing worship choruses.
No,
and they're
guitar.
Like, we don't even know.
Playing Sailor's guitar.
Word, no. If you pull out the guitar, you have to play Wonderwall instead of Kumbaya.
Okay. So that is so funny that you mentioned that, Jake, because as we start talking about things that Christians should or shouldn't do, I am going to admit, and I can just be the old, culturally insensitive woman on this panel, but I am not okay with people taking pop culture songs and using them for offertories, communion, preludes in church services. Someone just told me the other day that someone played a Taylor Swift song in their church service, and I was like, Jesus, take the wheel. Speaking of songs.
Oh, sovereignty of God. Like, look what you made me do, I guess.
Bit of a stretch.
Okay, yeah.
Well, I mean, God could be the reason for the teardrops on your guitar.
Let's
just be real.
Oh, okay. Forever.
Everyone
always.
Should know about the highway to hell. Yeah, and make sure they're not on it.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Living on a prayer. That's good.
And
prayer
your youth group should always smell like Teen Spirit.
No one knows that song anymore.
I'm just putting that out.
Everybody knows that song. Come on.
I'm just putting that one out as one that I think is not okay. But what are some other what comes to mind, you guys, when either things that you've come up against or you've had an aha moment or you've straight up had someone be like, dude, no. That's not okay.
Well, can I piggyback on that?
Yeah.
Just to clarify, you mean like the straight Taylor Swift lyrics? It's not like they rewrote them into the Christian Christian version
or
something?
No, but I
would
hate that too.
Okay.
What in the world is that about? That's weird.
Like, that's just like this.
Yeah, that
I feel like I'm
never works.
Ruffle feathers here. Like, it's like,
come on, that's
weird
Al, guys. Weird Al's the best.
So much
it's Weird Al, but like
version
with
of
Jesus.
No, there is. His name is Mark Lowry.
Yeah,
there are careers
really?
Built
Mark
off
Lowry
of
did
this
that.
For sure.
Yeah, that's not okay.
I don't know. I feel like John Acuff and Tim Hawkins have like really owned this space in the last couple of years with stuff Christians say.
That
and
makes sense. Yeah.
Of course, Tim Hawkins talking about praying hedges of protection. Like,
yeah.
Hey, what's the devil going to do when he comes up against a hedge of protection? Like, oh no, it's shrubbery. Like, but that one is still one that I like. I will catch myself praying because I grew up hearing it, and it's like I just pray for hedges of protection and traveling mercies.
It's like super cliche prayers. That's
it's like a
one.
Hedge of protection sounds like the worst kind of protection. I think like God is a mighty fortress. At least.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
I asked this question to one of my friends who is a non-believer, and first she said, I've got a laundry list. She
nice.
Said one thing, and then she put in parentheses, it does not apply to you, but is large scale. You don't open your arms with welcoming love anymore. You cast a vision of condemnation. And then she said, actually, I'll stop saying you because you don't make me feel this way. But Christians preach that sin is redeemable through Christ, but treat sinners as the scum of the earth, despite mountains of hypocrisy, right? Am I saying that right, guys? Yeah. Like Christians, once they accept Jesus in their heart, are suddenly perfect and stop sinning. Not true. Despite what you think about someone's actions, whether it's sin or not, Christians should be showing love and acceptance and prayer rather than condemnation. That's what I boil all my criticisms into. And that just made me, I mean, almost embarrassed for Christians as a whole, because I think she's right. And I think it's easy to point that on other people, but not easy to see when we do it ourselves.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think it actually sheds light on something that's even broader. And that is the idea that as Christians, I think we spend a lot more time just trying to fix people than recognizing the sovereignty and the omnipotence of God himself and the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, rather than let's change everyone's behavior and set up a bunch of sin management systems, really entrusting them to the work of the Holy Spirit, who is going to chase them down in his time if he so desires. That's what I say. You know, I think it's just a lot about like, oh, how are we going to make these people into better people or better, you know, C.S. Lewis, obviously, we're creating a lot of nice people rather than new people. That's not even our job to do.
Well, I think the other thing that comes out to me in that message that kind of underlines this whole conversation about stuff Christians should stop doing or saying is right there. We're so worried about like the words we say presenting the right facade that I think we do accidentally with these words that we use, whether we're saying we're too blessed to be stressed or, you know, whatever.
Hey, I say that. Hashtag blessed.
Yeah, hashtag blessed, yo. but when we use all this vernacular, I think we can accidentally project that. And I think we often use it with good intention or even maybe more often, we use it without thinking about it and without thinking about the fact that to other people that we're just trying to be grateful maybe in our hearts and not complain all the time or whatever, but to somebody else that might come across as trying to whitewash over whatever's really going on in our life.
Well, that reminds me of a vernacular that I heard once that made me more inclined to say things like too blessed to be stressed. Somebody said, you know, if you show worry, then it tells non-Christians that your God is not enough for you. And that really hit me because I was like, yeah, so I don't ever want to seem like the God I serve is not enough for me not to worry about this test I have or whatever. And so that made me more inclined to be like, yeah, I have no worries. Everything's good. You know, so there's the other side of it. Like, if we're real, I mean, it's...
Yeah, but I think... But again, that's a great example. It's a perfect example. We have this idea that we have to show something perfect to the world so that they'll love God. But no, we have to show what a perfect God does inside of our broken lives. Mm-hmm. And so... But I think, again, that's a good intention. The intention is, oh, we want to show that we have joy and that, you know, everything's okay and that God takes care of us and our life is better and we have hope. But what we really are showing people is, boy, they're in denial. They're not recognizing their real life. They're not even like engaged in reality or with us. Mm-hmm. And it seems like they're trying to make us feel like we're second-rate humans or, yeah, you know, things, whatever, however it may come across. But it stemmed from a good intention.
Yeah.
And well, I think it stems from a misinterpretation of what God does. God doesn't make us perfect. Like in this world, we still have trouble.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think where the difference comes in is when, as a Christian, you can say, I am super anxious about this, but I am choosing to believe what I know to be true about God and act apart from my feelings. Yeah. You know, and that's where I think we get it so muddled, is we're being led by our feelings and we're just being driven to and fro by, oh, you know, this overtook me, this feeling overtook me or whatever. And it's like, no, we're called to obey the God of the Bible, regardless of our feelings. Right. And then God will train us, you know, sanctify us in our feelings. And
there's a great Adventures in Odyssey episode about that.
Really?
Called Count It All Joy. Yeah, it's where she hears the voice,
Hello,
Count It All
Christian
Joy.
Man.
Oh, yeah. That might be the most Christian thing about me at this point. But for real, like it was like, I have to put on this smiley face. And it's like, no, you just have to choose not to let these circumstances and your feelings define you. Doesn't mean you can't acknowledge that you have them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think something that I'm just thinking of here as I'm listening is like, if you talk to somebody who is not a believer and would ask them this question, or maybe like ask them the similar question of like, who do you think God is? And if the immediate answer is like this anger or this hurt or something, and then they start to tell you who they think God is, like chances are who they think God is not who I think God is at all. Like, and what you're saying, like, hey, God is this perfect thing. We don't really have to be perfect. Like, we don't have to give this perfect image all the time because of that, because of like, who we, I mean, yeah, we're striving, right? Mm-hmm. But that's just what I was thinking there.
I asked, no, that's a great point. I asked this question to some Boundless listeners, and somebody said that. She said the first thing that popped into my head was when I read your question is, it's okay. And like, people say that all the time. I mean, I say that all the time, mm-hmm. You know, like, oh, it's going to be okay. But she's like, first off, to non-believers, to be completely honest, they don't have the Holy Spirit in them. It's not okay. Like, it's really not okay for them.
Right. This
and
is it.
From Christian mm-hmm. to Christian, someone has a problem, and you're like, well, it's going to be okay. God works all things out for good. Like, that doesn't help in the moment, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and you think about the way Jesus entered into people's pain. He knew he was going to bring Lazarus back from the dead, and yet he wept with people who didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the passage in Romans that talks about how the Spirit groans with us. I feel like we have to do that with our friends, too, instead of just like, you know, it's fine.
Yeah. What are a few others, Catherine, that some listeners had to weigh in on?
One that I saw was equating politics with salvation.
Oh, preach!
Let's go. Yeah.
Oh, come on. Oh,
she said the Bible does not say you have to vote for a certain political party, vote at all, or shun those who think differently than you. However, it does call us to love people. And yeah, I just think that's totally true, especially on social media, you know.
Yeah, oftentimes we get way tied up into how our politics do or do not reflect our faith. And it's not that our faith shouldn't inform our politics, but I think it's what we get there is we get it twisted and our politics start to inform our faith and we start to think of it as salvation issues.
Right.
And not all of it is. And good Christians can disagree on a lot of political issues. And so, yeah, let's stop treating it as such. Mm-hmm. Now, to be fair, even if you don't have faith, people can throw you under the bus for your political convictions.
True.
We're all pretty good at that. But yeah.
I think kind of ancillary to that, just to say, is also equating being American with being a Christian. And that idea of like, let's just, I see my sister and her family live in the South, and I think there's this pervasive idea, sorry, Southerners, about just raising like Southern gentlemen, you know, like that. And that's equivalent with, well, they go to church every Sunday and they're just, you know, respectful and they're, I'm like, who cares?
Yeah, it's performance-based again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just not, you know, this whole idea of like, I'm an American, so I'm a Christian, or I'm, you know, I jokingly say this on the show a lot, I'm a Texan, so I'm a Christian. Texans, you don't have a corner on the truth, okay? Or on Jesus, FYI.
Oh, wow.
Just putting it out there.
Another one I thought was interesting was this listener texted one of his friends also who's a non-believer, and this is a response he got. The retiring nature of Christians in worrying that what they say or do will cause others discomfort is a big turnoff.
Yeah.
So you're talking like...
Isn't that
like
interesting? So conversations like this.
Political correctness.
I was like, well...
Stop asking me this question.
Christian saying, you know, like, I'm sorry. Like, stepping back is annoying. Like,
oddly, I've
funny?
Never been accused of that. That's weird. Huh, okay.
Huh.
But maybe for some people.
Well, if you think about it, hanging out with anybody who is always questioning themselves can get annoying. And so maybe some Christians do that, yeah.
Yeah, it's like no matter what you're insecure about, you know, whether it's how you look or what you do or how you sound or what your faith is, it can get irritating if you're constantly apologizing for something about yourself. It's like, look, just own it at least.
Right. You know?
I feel like something that's probably come up on the show before is like a really attractive thing is confidence. Like, know what you're thinking, know what you're standing on, and go for it.
Yeah.
You may offend people.
Yeah.
But
where do we all stand on co-opting cultural cliches on T-shirts?
Give us an example.
Can you define that a little bit?
Yeah, like, you know, all the awesome T-shirts like, let's talk about Jesus.
And oh, man.
The ways we like to imitate culture's quippy stuff.
My mom basically has the corner on that, okay? Yeah. She has like 15 Christian T-shirts that she wears and loves
are
them.
Where are we at on Christian T-shirts? Are those good, bad, otherwise?
I feel like it could be good if you go somewhere and treat someone super nice and then they notice your shirt and they're like, oh,
yeah,
Christian. What do you think, Matt?
I don't know. I mean, I hope they kind of notice that without the shirt, right?
Like,
I don't think I've ever worn one of those if it weren't for like a group or something. And then probably the name is like Edge.
And it doesn't mean
a vibrant
vector. I don't know. Like, there's a cliche. Talk about like group names.
That's a good question, though.
Night.
But I will say that I have seen the people that I know that just are like latched onto Jesus and have worn those. It's like I don't even care that they wear those shirts. You can tell the difference between people that are just. It always seems like the ones that are so, you know, like into it and stuff. They really do. They're just out, you know, being crazy. They don't care what people think, and they're going to wear the shirts. And as long as they really, their lives, you know.
They're the real Jesus
don't
freaks.
Don't speak again. Exactly.
Yeah. What about Christian to Christian? Like, one thing I do is I'll say, I'll be praying for you, and then I don't.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, snap.
That's one.
Well, that's called a lie.
Just, yeah, I was going to say, that's called
well, it's not
lying.
It's not that in the moment I'm like, oh, I'm not actually going to pray for them, but I'm just like, oh, like, they just have a test.
Yeah, it's really a way of saying, hey, moral support.
Right. You know.
I know. The way I've gotten around that is I just start stopping right there and praying with them right then. That's good. That's what I've done.
One of my friends texts prayers. Like you send her something and then she's just like, dear Jesus.
Can I Snapchat prayers?
I don't know.
I have friends that'll write them out too and like just give you the note like, hey.
That's
well,
cool.
Hello, 19th century.
Here it is.
No, it's cool. So that brings us to the question of what can we do? Like, there's a lot of things, annoying things Christians do. I mean, so should we find them and not do them?
No, I mean,
okay, well,
I think, the common thread. What's really behind all these? I think it's a lack of earnestness. It's a lack of reality. It's a lack of, like, compassion.
Yeah.
There's a sense
it's
where...
a lack of the gospel.
Yeah, really. Where in each of things, we're not letting the gospel invade real life. Yeah. And being earnest with what that looks like in the mess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. What you're putting into yourself, if you are so in the Word and learning to love Jesus, learning to obey, like I was saying earlier, just being like, God, what would you have me do today and actually listen and follow him? I think the Holy Spirit then is going to speak through you. And you're not going to have to fill your time or your words with empty nonsense and trying to impress people or trying to be this or be that or not say the wrong thing and stuff. I think just the gospel and Jesus himself, they can speak for themselves.
But yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was just having this conversation with one of our VPs in my office, and I don't know why he came over to the little marketing corner to like have this conversation, but it was incredibly convicting and inspiring because, I mean, the guy has his master's in history. So his entire perspective on the world is like, well, what did Christendom look like during the Roman Empire? And what did Jesus do? And like, what is current era, past couple decades? And what are we doing as Christians? And a lot of what we were talking about was like about power and struggle and politics and whatnot. And one of the things he said was like, I think maybe the church is the most political unit in the world. Because if politics is just simply about influencing the lives of those around you, then the church ought to be doing that every day in every way possible. And what our conversation kind of came down to is like there has to be this kind of continual loop of like realizing it, like seeing this list of things that you do or don't do as a Christian that turn people off or bring people toward Christ and like acting like Christ. And so the like kind of this circle of belief and understanding and actual practice.
Yeah.
And just kind of continually relearning it and reapplying it over and over again and doing something in the lives of just the people around you, yeah. Which is very hard to do.
Well, we are out of time, sadly, so we have to take this over to the blog. So everyone weigh in kind of with your own missteps because, you know, we love to hear about those. but also really just some solid ideas for what does it look like to live out our faith authentically before the world and also in community with one another. I think it's valuable. It's a fun discussion, but also ultimately valuable. So thanks, you guys.
Yeah, thanks.
Yep.